Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi friends, thank you for your practice, thank you for being here. I hope this finds you in good health and secure. Today we enter the world of Dharani. This chapter I have mixed feelings about it, not because it doesn't belong here or it's not meaningful, but simply because the way it's been translated so many times, so countless times, from some kind of a, I don't know if it's a Western problem or if it's a problem of Eastern trying to appeal to Western, I don't know. But I have, I've had to deal with people of other sectarian differences, especially Hinayana, Theravada, Hinayana. And I can't blame them for pointing this out. They'll say, yeah, I don't believe in magic words or spells, you know, for enlightenment. Neither do I, okay? And this is often a mistranslation, a misunderstanding. And I blame the transcribers and translators who insist on calling Dharanis magical spells. They are not. If you do the research, which I have, because I was determined to find this out, if that's what they are, then I have a problem with Lotus Sutra Buddhism, yeah? And then I go back to Komarajiva, and I say to Komarajiva, what the hell are you doing? But what I found out, pleasantly, was that it's not that at all. It's not, if I say to you that I live in the land of the free, other than being kind of an arrogant statement, and that's a whole different discussion, but where do you think I'm from or I'm living? Right away, almost anyone in the world, I would venture to say, would say, oh, you're from the United States of America. In fact, no, let's stick with that example because that's much closer to what a Dharani is. A Dharani is not just a saying. It's not, you know, a catchphrase. They're very specific words. And remember, you know, if we're talking about Prakrit or Sanskrit or Pali, words in those languages, it's not like English, you know, where our words are very supposedly constructed, how shall I say it, with minutiae, with, in other words, words very rarely have an all-encompassing meaning of a concept. They're dissections. In fact, they're grammatical setups for dissections, right? Like the word the says definite article, right? This is why we say John is in hospital. Unless we know the specific hospital, we don't say John is in the hospital. The hospital indicates a specific hospital. And maybe in our conversation that is, see, grammar in English, it's very, right? Nitsy pitsy. When we're talking about these ancient languages, they're more like indications, signs. Look at the naming conventions. Look at the trouble we have in English of conceptualizing a bodhisattva. We have to give him 10 different names because that's the only way to capture this one naming convention of Sanskrit that has all these concepts interplaying to offer the identity of this bodhisattva. Okay? So, dharanis, I want you to understand, are not magic at all. They're funneled essences of meaning put together to represent a much larger conceptual whole. Now, if you think that that sounds too complex, consider the Daimoku. Consider Nichiren saying to us, the character Myo. Let's just take that first character, Myo. Represents all of the 69,384 words of the Lotus Sutra. And more, actually. See, until you start to delve into how Buddhism understands the cosmos, the nature of life, of all phenomena, you can't possibly understand the communication in language, sound, and vibration, frequency, all of that. And it's mean. This is why so many sutra have been written, and the Lankavatara, very implicitly so, explicitly so. Don't get hung up on the words, because the words aren't it. The words are just an indicator, a finger pointing at the moon. If all you do is look at the finger, you will miss the amazing thing that is the moon. And what it means, much more to the point. Ho, ren, ge, kyo, those sounds, those characters, they signify the entirety of Buddhist teaching because they signify invoking Buddha-ness, Tathagata-ness. It's the engine of life. That's why it's translated as a law, the priori law, the a priori law. Without this, nothing. Without the Daimoku, nothing. This, it's profound. So, when you read these authors who translate it as, and then he invoked this magic spell or these magic dharanis, and they give it to you in Sanskrit, adding profoundly to the misconception, it looks like abracadabra. Why wouldn't you think it was a magic spell? And I fault the translators for that. It's a huge disservice they've done to all of Buddhism, let alone Lotus Sutra Buddhism, yeah? So please, 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 and I will have annotations as I read this, to try with words to make this clear. So I subtitled Dharanis two ways. I have a parenthetical that says expedient words and phrases, because that's actually in the definition if you look it up. They're expedients. Remember, the Lotus is all about, please understand, words are expedients. They're not the thing. Chanting versus mantra, protections and supports of the Dharma. Dharanis are specifically different from a mantra. Mantra, you've all heard that word. And generally, mantras are thought to be specific invocations to an individual. This is where, and mantras will definitely use aspects of dharani. But sometimes mantras are just invocations of minute thoughts. They don't really represent a greater text or learning. They'll often be personal. So strictly speaking, a dharani is not a mantra. And a mantra, although sometimes a dharani, isn't always a dharani. It's a mantra. But a dharani is always a dharani. And I've tried to translate them. It's not easy. But when you do find translations, and I have one in here I think I included, it'll give you an idea. It's like words that don't really form sentences, but they're conceptual ideas and thoughts that when you run them together, you start to get a sense for a much larger dialogue or text. That's a dharani, right? Namo myoho renge kyo is a dharani. Not a mantra. Although you could call it that, strictly speaking, it's a dharani. All right. At that time, the medicine king Bodhisattva rose from his seat and humbly, baring his right shoulder, folded his hands together toward the Buddha and spoke to the Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, if there be any good son or good daughter who is able to receive and keep the Law Flowers Dharma Sutra, either reading or reciting or studying or copying the sutra, what is the extent of merits obtained?" Now, at this point, you might be saying, why this question again? Don't we know the answer to that? We've already talked chapters about the merits of the preacher of the law or the teacher of the law, chapters about the merits, the experience of awakening, and so forth and so forth. Why is Medicine King asking this question again? We can only think this is another opportunity for Shakyamuni to delve into another aspect of our enlightenment. So the Buddha responds, "Suppose any good son or good daughter pays homage to 800 myriad kodas of Nayutas of Buddhas, equal to the sands of the Ganges." Sorry, adding to the dictionary. "In your opinion, are not the merits so obtained rather numerous?" Right? Because I've already talked about this. Do you not understand that? And Bodhisattva Medicine King responds, "Oh, very numerous, world-honored one." All right, so you know that, right? So the Buddha continues, "If any good son or good daughter is able, in regard to this sutra, to receive and keep but a single four-line verse, read and recite, understand its meaning, and do as it says, his merits, or this person's merit, will be still more numerous." So now we're talking specifically about the sutra, which he has in the past, but he's being very specific now. And he makes sure to say that you have to understand its meaning and do as it says. Thereupon, the medicine king Bodhisattva said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, to the teachers of the law, I will now give dharanis, expedient words and phrases, invocations for their guard and protection." So it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that with the question of what kind of merits do they receive, Shakyamuni says, you know what kind of merits they receive. And to those who can become lotus bodhisattvas, become promoters, propagators of this sutra, this law, dharma, the merits of these people is far greater. So Medicine King, maybe now he just needed a restatement. He really gets it. And what he wants to do is he wants to offer a sort of an invocation, kind of like an address at a ceremony where we talk to the graduating class of a great university, right? There's always speeches being made to set these people on their way. Okay, you have all this knowledge now. let this knowledge be your whatever in life that you can gain from it, that it can protect you from ignorance, so on and so forth, right? Commencement speeches, the word finally comes to mind. So I insert here at this point, an excerpt from Buddhism Reference, my encyclopedia, if you will, for modern Buddhism. And I will read that to you now. Dharani, in the book, The Profound Meaning of the Daimoku, Sifu Sylvain Chamberlain, I know that guy, captures many of the writings of Bodhisattva Nichiren on the subject of the Daimoku. A critical refrain throughout these writings is the meaning of each character of the title of the sutra, Myo Ho Ren Ge Kyo. When chanted, each contain or represent the entirety of the Lotus Sutra teaching of the Dharma. Right? I've already said that. This idea was not the invention of Nichiren, as some might claim. This method of invoking the entirety of a teaching is a conceptual phrase or phrases, has a long history throughout the Asian continent, cultures and traditions from Zi to Dengyo in Lotus lineage. Nichiren recognized in the scholarship of the Lotus Sutra the invocation of the title of the Lotus Dharma Sutra, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, in contrast to the more familiar term in the Western world, mantras, are not strictly representational invocations of a greater text or teaching. Now that's me saying that. Here's a quote from the Britannica Encyclopedia, a very revered resource of knowledge. And here's what Britannica says. Dharani in Buddhism and Hinduism, so already you know that this predates Buddhism, yeah, a sacred Sanskrit phrase of great efficacy, not magic, efficacy, used as a verbal protective device or talisman and as a support or instrument for concentration. Huh. Isn't that what we do when we chant to the mandala? Mm-hmm. The Dharani is a short summary of the essential doctrine contained in a much longer sacred text and serves as an aid to its retention. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Properly recited, the Dharani conveys the same merit as reading the entire work. I said, this is Britannica. It sounds like Nichiren. The meaning of a Dharani is often very difficult to determine and may sound to the uninitiated like a string of meaningless words, the accuracy of which is, nevertheless, carefully guarded when passed from one teacher to pupil, compared to the word mantra. So you notice in the Britannica definition, essential doctrine in the above quoted text, and consider Nichiren's writing on, right, the Gosho titled, The One Essential Phrase. So that's the end of my little annotation there. Hopefully that captures it for you. Whereupon he delivered the following invocation. And again, this is untranslated. So, Anye, Manye, Mane, Mamane. Anyway, not gonna. It sounds like. Perhaps one of you who are familiar with ancient languages would endeavor to send me an email on your erudite translation of this. But I don't think it's essential for us to understand that these are just key words and phrases to encapsulate the teachings. This is thousands of years before Nichiren now. And all of them are trying to devise a dharani that offers us memory, retention, concentration, right? Nichiren came up with the ultimate, which is throughout the Lotus Sutra, Shakyamuni is saying, this is the teaching, this is the teaching. What teaching? Myoho Rengekyo. Oh yeah, this is the teaching. He was saying it all along. Nichiren, for our modern era, goes, duh. That's the title of this whole works, which stands atop all previous works of Shakyamuni Buddha. So why wouldn't that be the dharani? Let's add to that dharani that we are awake, present, and invoking this dharani. Namu, this Buddhist dharma. Namu Myoho Rengekyo. There it is. They're all trying to do that from their own essential knowledge and praise of the teachings. They just are not doing it for people of our time, our era. Nichiren is. So you could look at all of these in this chapter as attempts at coming up at an essential phrase or group of phrases, which Nichiren trumps whole with the Daimoku, the most simple, the most straightforward dharani. World honored one, these supernatural dharani. Now, of course, this is Medicine King. He just delivered this. He's trying to give people a handy chunk to protect them, to keep them focused, the teachers of the law. World-honored one, these supernatural dharani invocations have been spoken by Buddhas numerous as the sands of 62 kodas of the Ganges rivers. If anyone does violence to the teacher of this law, then they will have to done violence to the Buddhas. Aren't we often reminded that if there are those who assail us for being Nichiren doctrine, Lotus Sutra practitioners, chanting Namo Myoho Rengekyo, belittling us or whatever, casting aspersions on us, that their heads will split into seven, right? We've already read that. These are all offered protections. In other words, protections that are knowledge. What is the ultimate protection? Remember that old saying, this is going to be really loose now, hand a poor man a fish and you feed him for a day, but teach this poor person how to catch and fish and fillet and prepare fish for themselves. You feed a life, you save a life. Whatever version of that you've heard. So that's what these dharanis are trying to do, right? Because it takes so much effort to study and learn and gain the meaning of these teachings, that it's a daunting task. And so in that task, there are those who offer us expedient ways to remind us of the entirety of what we're doing. And for us, Nichiren doctrine, Namo Myoho Rengekyo, that's our dharani, yeah? So Shakyamuni says to Medicine King Bodhisattva, good, good, O Medicine King, because you are compassionate and protect these teachers of the law, you have pronounced these dharanis, which will abundantly benefit the living. I wonder what Shakyamuni would say if he met up with Nichiren. We don't have a document of that. We should. Thereupon the Bodhisattva, courageous giver, spoke to the Buddha. Oh, now they're coming out. They've all got something to offer. Well, this is very honorable. This is, now that we understand, right, this far into the Lotus teaching, the exceptional merit of this teaching and awakening, enlightening our Buddha nature right now in this moment, that's a critical, critical understanding, right? They spent decades not believing this could be so. And now they're told, you've missed this point all along. This is the truth. This is what happens. Wow. Well, that means that this teaching is very vulnerable. Because if we can't put this off into time, whatever that is, and it's right now, then that means, as human beings invoking this constantly battling samsara and slowly raising our life condition with this practice, we need to stay focused, number one, and we need to feel some sort of invulnerability, because having achieved this, you certainly wouldn't want to backslide. You wouldn't want to lose it, right? Talk about this a lot throughout the sutras. Non-retrogression, right? So here's another bodhisattva, courageous giver. He gets up, world-honored one, I too, for the protection of these who read and recite, receive and keep the law, flower, dharma, sutra, will deliver dharanis. If these teachers of the law possess these dharanis, neither yakshas or rakshasas or putanas, it's not Spanish, or kriityas or kumbhanas or hungry ghosts, nor other. Well, hungry ghosts should be familiar to you from studying the world of hunger, right? One of the 10 essential realms of our sahal existence. Nor other spying for their shortcomings can find a chance. Then, in the presence of the Buddha, he delivered the following invocation. Once again, magic spell, right? No. Efficacious words. Reminder, right? A form of Namo Myo Renge Kyo. Without knowing, with ignorance, because this is thousands of years ago, right? Until Nichiren comes along and goes, look, there's only one dharani. And Shakyamuni throughout the lotus is essentially telling you as much. Whether it's a fault of translation, transcriptions, cultures, whatever. No, this is it. Ugh. Right? Once again, Nichiren must have been pulling his hair out. It's so obvious. But they're trying, right? World-honored one, these supernatural dharani invocations have been spoken by Buddhas numerous as the sands of the Ganges and all approved. If anyone does violence to the teachers of the law, he will have done violence to these Buddhas. Now you understand what that means, right? He's taking words from the teachings themselves, the sutras themselves, and he's putting them together in a poetic sort of way to revive, to remind us, practitioners of the lotus, what we are practicing, what is the meaning of what we're practicing, the depth, the profundity of what we're practicing, into an essential group of words, a little poem to keep in mind. This is why I wish I had the translations. Thereupon the transcendent king Vaishravana, protector of the world, spoke to the Buddha saying, well, world-honored one, I too, in compassion for the living and for protection of the teachers of the law, will deliver these dharanis. Okay, what's your version? And this one's real short. They keep getting shorter. Ate tate nate vanate anade ni nadi kunadi shvaha. It's pretty short. World-honored one, by these supernatural invocations, I will protect the teachers of the law. I will also myself protect those who keep this sutra, so that no corroding care shall come within 100 yohanas. Wow. There we have another essence of the dharani, that by invocation of the Buddhist teachings, the Tathagata-ness, that no harm will come to you and no dissolving of understanding, the forgetting, the doubts that creep in will take hold. Thereupon the transcendent king domain holder, who was present in this congregation, who wasn't, with a host of thousands of myriads of kotas, of nayutas, of gandharavas, reverently encompassing him, went before the Buddha and, folding his hands, said to the Buddha, "World-honored one, I too, with supernatural dharani invocations, will protect those who keep the Law Flower Dharma Sutra." Whereupon he gave his dharani. "World-honored one, these supernatural dharani invocations have been spoken by 42 kotas of Buddhas. If anyone does violence to these teachers of the law, he will have done violence to these Buddhas." Right? So you can see here that all these dharanis are pulled from the words of enlightenment, the words of dharma teaching. They're not just invented words, right? They're the words of enlightenment, of Buddhas, of Tathagata. Thereupon, there were female rakshasas. The first named Lamba, the second named Vilamba, the third named Crooked Teeth, the fourth named Flowery Teeth, the fifth name Black Teeth. I don't know why we have to name all the women, but evidently all of them, the ninth Kunti and the tenth name Spirit Snatcher. Remember, Rakshasas are demons. They are of Mara, of the Saha world, that tend to influence towards Samsara. But there's no reason they wouldn't have a positive use. So we're using Mara against Mara's influences to protect and to offer insight, positiveness, with their influence. That's quite something. That's like turning a spy, yeah? Together with the mother of the demon sons, and her children and followers all went to the Buddha with one voice, said to the Buddha. Now you could see this as defeating Mara in the act. You're taking samsaric influences and you're turning them into support and protection of Buddha-ness. Well, okay, so this chapter is showing a transition. Well, we haven't really dealt with that yet. So this chapter suddenly finds its more profound meaning. It's not just about dharanis. It's about the actual transition from samsara to Buddha-ness. Ah, how fascinating, yeah? World-honored one, we too would protect those who read and recite, receive and keep the Law Flower Dharma Sutra, and rid them of corroding care. If any spy for the shortcomings of these teachers of the law, we will prevent their obtaining any chance. So I would go so far as to say, so far, women have been portrayed rather negatively as the enchantress and the whole sexual tension going on here. But here we have these women, these rakshasas, these female influences turning toward really kind of motherhood, nurturing, caring. Oh yeah, women can do that. What do you know? Wow. In those kind of terms, this is pretty big for Shakyamuni to be talking about ladies in this way, right? He's got a whole monastic order of women now. And so it's about time in our transition from samsara to Buddha-ness as teachers of the law, that we see great benefit and a source of comfort and strength and protection from females? Oh, wow. Whoever thought about that? Well, it seems obvious to us, but in the writings thus far, that's a pretty major step, wouldn't you say? Okay. And so they offer their Dharani. Let troubles come on our heads rather than on the teachers of the law. A mother protecting its child, yeah. Neither yakshas nor hungry ghosts, nor putanas, nor kriyityas, or vetadas, or kashyas, and several others, nor man, kriyatachas, nor fevers, whether for a single day, or quotidian, or tertian, or quartan, or weekly, or unremitting fevers, whether in male form or female form, or form of a youth or form of a maiden, even in dreams, shall ever cause distress. Whereupon before the Buddha they spoke thus in verse, whoever resists our invocations and troubles a teacher, may his head be split in seven, like an arjaka sprout. May his doom be that of parricide, his repercussions that of oil expresser, or a deceiver with false measures and weights, or a devadatta who brought schism into the sangha. And devadatta must have winced when he heard that, yeah. He who offends these teachers of the law, such shall be his repercussion, or their repercussion. So I have a note here. In addition to the often quoted head split in seven, recounted in Nichiren's writings, the repeated offered protections and support for those who read, recite, keep, and the name of the law, Flower Dharma Sutra, there it is. I mean, again, Nichiren was like, you know, and so on, is quite an exposition on the benefits of the lotus practice. It is an encouragement that the very forces of Mara, the demons, that would, in samsara, spawn all manner of obstacles to shake our confidence and create doubts, will instead provide us the strength of conviction and resolve in our study and practice of Myoho Renge Kyo to bolster our perseverance. Yes, it is. It's rather surprising, isn't it? But that's the nature of this practice, of this Lotus Sutra Buddhism. So, after these female Rakshasas had uttered this stanza, they addressed the Buddha saying, world-honored one, we ourselves will also protect those who receive and keep, read and recite and practice this sutra and give them ease of mind, freedom from corroding care and from all poisons. So the Buddha addressed the Rakshasi women. Splendid, splendid. Even if you are only able to protect those who receive and keep the name of the law flower, Myoho Renge Kyo, your happiness will be beyond calculation, so they too attain enlightenment. Wow. How much more if you protect those who perfectly receive, keep, and pay homage to the sutra with flowers, necklaces, sandal powder, perfumes, incense, flags, canopies, and music, burning various kinds of lamps, ghee lamps, oil lamps, scented oil, so on and so forth. Such hundreds of thousands of kinds of offerings as these. Kunti, you and your followers should protect such teachers of the law as these. And I put a note in here. Nichiren found this last of the Buddha's pronouncements very meaningful for the propagation of his own insights and doctrine In a response of the overriding importance of the Daimoku, Nichiren wrote, question, what proof is, this is a quote from the Gosho, yeah? What proof is there that one should embrace the name of the Lotus Sutra, in particular, in the same way that people embrace the name of a Buddha? Answer, the sutra states, quote, the Buddha said to the Rakshasis, splendid, splendid, you protect those who preserve the name of the Lotus Sutra. Your merit is immeasurable. This passage, again, Nichiren, means that when the Rakshasis vowed to protect those who embraced the title of the Lotus Sutra, the world-honored one of great enlightenment praised them, saying, splendid, splendid, the merit you will receive for protecting those who accept and uphold Namu Myoho Renge Kyo will be incalculable and marvelous. This passage implies that whether walking, standing, sitting, or lying down, we living beings should chant Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. It should always be in your mind, yeah? In closing, while this chapter of the Dharanis was taught, 68,000 people attained the assurance of no rebirth, right? The liberation from the samsaric cycle of moment to moment, birth, death, rebirth, experienced as possession of permanence of time. More annotation. The Dharani chapter is a source of much confusion to the modern reader, as I said in the beginning. Transliteration of some of these is helpful to understand the ancient Indian language's method of combining characteristics and various aspects of subjects to represent a much larger discourse on these subjects. Today, we would use nicknames, memes, and even quotes from movies or commercial advertising to quickly identify qualities of others or situations, etc. These invocations are no more than these. Here is a brief example of an ancient Dharani translated into English. Please be aware that to translate into English, it is often required to use several words in order to capture the meaning of just one term. So here's a Dharani. Om. Homage to the Bhagavat, unequally excellent in the entirety of the three worlds. Homage to you, the Buddha. It is thus. And then you have Om Brum Brum Brum, purify, purify, purify well, you well purified by having the nature of the sky reaching out to the pervading what appears on all sides in a manner equal to no equal, you completely purified as whatever that says. It's an old Sanskrit term. And you can see just from our discussions, we're talking about Tathagata, the constantly present engine of life. But this is what Myoho Renge Kyo is. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo is an invocation of Myoho Renge Kyo. This is what we do. Another translation, may all the Tathagata embodiments anoint me. I, with the anointments of the Amrita, of the supreme words of the Saigatas, with the mantra expressions of Mahamudra, Om Bring Bring, O you who maintain my lifespan, purify, purify, purify well, you who are well purified as the nature of the sky, you who are completely purified as, again, that name. So, does that give you a strong hint as to what a Dharani is? If all that you get out of this chapter is a deeper sense for the meaning of Namo Myoho Renge Kyo as profoundly reaching into all of karma. Because karma is an effect produced of the engine of life. and by harnessing all of it to its amelioration, to its enlightenment, then you can express all of your karmic momentum as Buddhaness, as the engine of life. Right? Yet another way to penetrate the thinking of the Dharma. Anyway, we got through it. That was chapter 26. Yeah, that was chapter 26. Let me just verify so I don't go crazy because I have OCD. Yeah, 26. So next is chapter 27, the past deeds of King Resplendent, or the filial responsibility and perseverance. That we will do next time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being, mostly thank you for your practice. Keep that practice strong. In order to do that, please take care of your health. Yeah. And I will see you in the next one. All the links in the description, you know what to do. Your support is invaluable. And by that I mean, not only am I grateful, but much more to the point, the Sangha could not exist without you. So every little thing that you do, major thing that you do, all supports this effort, this resource, all of Resource Bookstore and all. Thank you. Take care of your health. I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.